by David Ebel is titled Daniel's 70 Weeks.
All right, we want to get into our lesson tonight, and the lesson's on Daniel's 70 weeks. I'd like to call your attention first to the first part or the first side of your lesson sheet. Look at it, please. It starts out with Daniel's 70 weeks. Calling your attention to the center of the lesson leaflet or sheet, starting out with what I call a date line, and that date line's way back a long time ago, 538 B.C., then it goes to 519 and 458 and 445 and 409, then 26 A.D., 29 A.D., and what's that other number there at the bottom? 33, and I think there's a 70, is that correct?
Yeah.
On your paper there? Okay, now flip your paper over, please. Now, if you look at the other side, there's a date line that goes down that, but it starts at 29 and a half, goes to 33 in a few days after, and that's the end. In other words, go back to the first side. In other words, the first side accounts for, maybe we'll say 600 years, but the flip side accounts for just a very few years within that framework that we've established with a big one. Let's try it another way. How many of you have got a map of Pennsylvania, and on the map of Pennsylvania, on an insert, there's a map of Philadelphia? It's expanded. You see what we're doing? You take the one picture, and then you take another picture and put it on there, and it's expanded. So it's really the same chart, but I couldn't get it all together, so I'm expanding. We'll call it one side is the state map, and the other side is the street map of what we're studying. Now, I think I get that. And he spoke to them in parables. All right. There's a good one. Now come back with me to the first one, the top sheet on Daniel's 70 weeks. How many are aware of the fact that most Christians believe that Daniel's 70th week is just about to begin? Let's see your hands. How many have heard that teaching? Raise them high so the others will see something. Raise them high, please. This is a very important concept right now. Now, the others, turn around. I want you to look. Raise your hands high. The others, turn around. Keep your hands up. I wanted the effect here. The others, look around. Okay, now that's good enough. Now, have I shown you that this is a significant factor in Christian thinking? This is a significant factor in the study of prophecy. Most people believe that Daniel's 70th week is just about to begin. 69 weeks are over. There was a 2,000-year period in between. And then they talk about the tribulation. How many have heard of that word? The Daniel's tribulation. And they talk about the fact that it's going to be 3.5 years when the Antichrist is around, and he's really going to wreck the place. No, sorry. For the first 3.5 years, he's real neat to the guys, right? So that they all line up with him. And then the last 3.5 years, he just turns into, what'll I call him? Well, the devil. Yeah, all right. Dennis the Menace. How's that? Worse than Dennis. Well, he really wrecks things up. The last half of the 7-year period, or the last 3.5 years of a 7-year period. Now, in discussing this in this realm about an Antichrist and about a 7-year period and about he butters up the people and then he gets real mean to the people. How many, in addition to what I've just talked about Daniel's 70th week, how many have heard something along these lines from some preacher somewhere or read something about it? Let's see your hands. Hands up again. All right, we've got a whole lot more now. We've got a whole lot more. That's good enough. We've established a concept here. Now, next thing. How many believe that I'm going to teach this just the way it's always been taught? Because if you've come to our Bible classes by now, you know for a surety that whatever he starts on, it's going to be really flipped by the time that night's over, right? It's not going to be the same at all. Well, to me, when someone asks me a question that challenges what I know or believe about the Bible, and I can't prove it with a chapter and verse, I get thrilled. I really do. I like it because it sends me back. I study it. I find out what, you know, where my, well, what's where my strength is and where my weakness is. And a lot of times I'll change my mind about something based on a question that someone asked me during this question try and answer period later on tonight. Now, maybe I won't change my mind, or maybe I won't teach the lesson on that, maybe that year or the next year, but 2 years later, I've got a whole new concept, you see, based on some question that somebody asked me, and I really couldn't give them a... Well, how many of you have noticed that a lot of times when you have to give an answer that you make up on the spot, and you're really not on solid ground? No one here has ever done that. Yes, we do. We've a lot of times we feel challenged and we make up our answer in order to, we'll say, maintain our position or something like that. You know, it's kind of hard to say, I don't know. But a lot of times I say, I don't know. And then I go back and study it. So a lot of things we'll be talking about tonight are based on that basic original concept that some folks asked me some questions a while back. And sometimes I said I know, and sometimes I said I don't know. And I don't know where my pointer is, so I'll just let that go, too. Mama said not to point with my finger, but that's all I got. It's on the end of my hand, and so here it goes. In Daniel's 70th week, I want to call your attention to this side of the chart, and it's all out of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, it goes like this. Then I switched because I ran out of room and went to verse 27 and all. That's all out of the book of Daniel. But if you'll read it carefully out of the book of Daniel, you'll notice it doesn't make sense. He talks about and prophecy to anoint the holy most. Well, we don't talk like that. We say to anoint the most holy, right? But this is a literal translation out of the Hebrew word for word. And if the Hebrew said holy right there, I wrote holy. If the Hebrew said most, I wrote most. This is what we call Dutchie. Does anybody know what it is, Dutchie? Kids were talking the other day and said, throw Daddy down the table of his Bible. I don't have to keep going on that. The other side are some decrees. I'm calling your attention to the first decree, second decree, third decree, and fourth decree that went out from Babylon. Now we're going to study and we're going to see what happened and when it happened. I'll do a lot of reading. But I've given it to you on your papers, and you can check these things out later on. After teaching this lesson a couple of times and talking to the people who heard the subject, they said, hey, that's absolutely great, that's wonderful, but don't ask me to teach that. And they went back with their charts and began to study it. Put it all together, because it is complicated. I'll admit it's complicated. And if you miss a few points, don't you worry about it, because when we get to the end, it'll all fit together anyway. Okay, let's get started. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, it says, weeks 70, but the word weeks, now we have to start out, that's the first problem. The word weeks is seven in Hebrew. Now let me try another word. If I said seven in Hebrew, then you'd have to think, is he speaking of seven apples or a week? You follow what I just did then? The word seven means week. Okay, weeks 70, that's 770s. Got it? 770s are decreed as to your people, and as to the city you're holy, that's a little Dutchy, but you know what it means, as to your holy city, and to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to atone for iniquity, and to bring in righteousness everlasting, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the holy most. Now let's agree on a few things. Will you agree that the transgression, that is to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, was already accomplished by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Would you agree or not? Would you say yes or do something? All right, yes. And to atone for iniquity. Would you agree? Jesus Christ atoned for iniquity, right? And to bring in righteousness. Did he do that? Say yes. So what I'm trying to do is everlasting, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and maybe that it's hard to agree to that one until I give you a few scriptures like that. The Moses and the prophets were until John the Baptist. Do you remember that scripture? You see, so he sealed it up. He did anyway. And to anoint the Holy Most, and you remember who that was. So the whole subject of this verse is who? Say it. Jesus Christ. And he accomplished this subject. Is there anything in here, in the introduction to Daniel's 70 weeks, that has anything to do with you and me? Well, all right. Yeah, it does as far as the body of Christ. But that isn't where I was headed. Is there anything here that has to do with IBM or General Motors or United States of America or our wars? You follow what I'm doing here. You see, this is about some other people doing some other things a while ago is what I'm trying to get at right now. Though there is something about this anointing. I'm going to take exception because we aren't the Holy Most. We are the body of Christ. We are the anointed ones. But we're not the most holy. There's only one most holy. Is that okay? You follow one? All right, let's leave it. In verse 25, then know and understand that from the issuing of an order, watch this, to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Did it say anything in this prophecy about an order to restore and build the temple?
No.
No, it did not. And why am I emphasizing this? Because all of the books that I've got on my shelf about prophecy, coming from California and all these radio and television preachers that make charts on, you know, how it's going to be, they all of them measure from the rebuilding, not of Jerusalem, but from the rebuilding of the... Okay, you got it. But what's it say here?
Jerusalem.
You measure from Jerusalem to find the time frame. The rebuilding of Jerusalem, not the rebuilding of the temple. Though they are intermixed and very difficult to pull out. I bet you'll figure out that I studied this a long time before I taught this lesson and studied and studied and studied to get all these numbers and see how one guy, you know, came up with his different numbers and so forth. But I'm emphasizing the fact that this chart is the only chart I know of anywhere in the world where you can find these numbers, but I'm telling you where to find out whether I told you the truth. In other words, if you want to look up this number, it's in Jewish Encyclopedia. To find out who did this thing. In other words, I'm giving you my notes so that you can check it out because before this is over tonight, there'll be possibly, 7 to 10 things that we once thought were true that aren't true at all. And some people are thrilled with that and some people aren't. From that rebuilding of Jerusalem to Messiah the Prince, give me his name, please. Jesus Christ, shall be week 7. Now that's 7 sevens. You follow that? That's 49. And 60 and 2. 60 and 2 weeks is 434 years. Don't know whether you caught that or not. But in order to get this idea from days to weeks to months to years, someone read me in Numbers chapter 14, verse 34, and someone else Ezekiel 4:6. Who can find it quickly? Any version of the Bible will do. You can use one of your modern versions, even though Jesus used the King James. Okay, here they are. The verses? All right, let me show you something. It's in Numbers 14:34 and Ezekiel 4:6, and it's right on your own chart. So you don't have to chop. You don't have to write it down. And my technique of teaching, for those who are new with us, when I come to a verse that isn't on your chart, I'll stop and tell you to write it down, okay? So, to help it flow. Who's got it? Numbers.
After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years. You shall know my breach of promise.
It's good enough. The idea here is that the spies went into the land. Does anybody remember how many days they spent spying out the land? 40 days. So he says, because of the 40 days you spent spying out the land and you brought back an untrue report, you're going to spend how many years in the wilderness? 40 years. A day for a year for a day. Is it established that in prophecy you kind of live it out a year for a day? Well, try it in Ezekiel 4. Give me the Ezekiel 4 one.
Go ahead.
What I'm doing right now is moving the microphone as close as I can to whoever's going to read. Russ, you take it.
And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I appointed thee each day for a year.
A day for a year. Now, the prophet was to lay on his side for 40 days because he was prophesying how many years they were going to be in trouble. You remember that? And the verse in front of it, how many days did he lay on his side?
40.
No, the verse right a bit in front of it.
390 days
laying on his side. That would give me atrophy. How about you? That's a long nap. But there he is laying on his side a day for a year. Is the point established that in biblical prophecy, a day sometimes prophesies a year? Okay, so that's why we use it this way right now. And then you'll see that it works out later on. Okay, back to this point. Again, it shall be built with plaza and ditch. Now, in your King James, it doesn't say with plaza and ditch. It says what? I think it says road, doesn't it? Well, we don't have anyone with King James, so we'll let it go. All right. Street? Street and walk. Okay. Wall. Oh, street and wall. All right. And somebody said mall the other day. Maybe I misunderstood. I don't know. You know, plaza is a mall. Yeah, that's what he's saying. You got to rebuild it. Even in affliction of the times, that would be times of affliction, 490 years and 434 years are 483 years. Remember that number, 483. We'll see that in a minute. Now, I'm calling your attention to another thing in this verse that might not be immediately apparent, but you got to grasp it. He talks about issuing an order, then gives a time frame to the Messiah. Then the next thing he says doesn't have anything to do with the Messiah. It has to do with the order that was issued. He gives a flashback, help me out. He amplifies, he tells a story, comes to the end of it, then he goes back and amplifies a part of the story in more detail. Now, can I do it another way? This is not in chronological order. He talks about an order. He talks about fulfilling the order. He talks about what happens after the fulfillment of the order. Then he goes back and talks about some more detail of the fulfillment of the order. You nod your head and do something so I can move quickly on. Or I'll keep staying here until... The reason it's important later on, I'm going to do another flashback. In other words, this was an easier one to see the layer when you'll have to see the pattern he's using. Okay, this is Daniel, by the way. Now, in the next verse he says, now after the weeks, 60 and 2, and what did I do with the word after? Not only did I underline it, I overlined it, and I put it all the way around it, because I'm emphasizing the word after. Did he say during the week 62? Did he say in the week 62? No, it's after the 62, and by the way, the 62nd week is after 7 that were in front of it. So this is really after the 69th within chronology. Oh, boy. It's still true. Well, it's still Bible. I know it sounds like an algebra class, and some of you said, I thought I was finished with that a long time ago. But it's still Bible, and some of us are thrilled with it. You know, because you add and subtract these numbers, and they fit. And for us engineering types, it's thrilling. Now, maybe it won't make a cookie, but it's still thrilling. I really enjoy this kind of Bible study, getting into it and finding out these numbers do balance, and it all works out. Okay, now in the 26th, last part of the verse, he goes on, and now he says, the city and the sanctuary shall destroy the people of a prince coming. And that's real Dutchy, and this is the way it comes out. A coming prince shall destroy the sanctuary. When? All we know for sure, it's after. Just after. That's all we know. During the 69th, we're not sure. During the 70th, no, we don't know. After the 70th, we don't know. All we know is it's after. Point made? All right. And its end shall be with a flood. But this flood may not be a flood of water. It could be a flood of people, an army. All right, point made. All right. And until the end shall be war, and we're not sure what end that is, but we'll get to it in a minute, and are determined desolations, or desolations determined until that end. Now, we believe that you'll read it this way and it'll make a lot of sense. Cyrus first made his decree to go to all the people of Israel and rebuild the temple. That's in Ezra 1:2. He told them to rebuild the temple. But it was an interesting story, and I don't think I'll take the time tonight because I think I know where to spend the time better. Now, in Isaiah 44:28 and 45:1, Isaiah made a prophecy. And in the prophecy, he prophesied that a baby would be born by the name of Cyrus, who would become the king, and would become the God's anointed to do a certain job. He would be anointed. He would be predestined. Come on, you Presbyterians. All right. And But the neat thing about it was, this guy, this prophecy was given about the man 200 years before he was born. See, now, that's, you know, sock it to him now. 200 years before the man was ever born, he's called by name. Now he's over in the court. He's got the crown. Some guys come up and say, Cyrus, you're supposed to be doing this. He said, what? He said, what are you talking about, man? He says, I'm not having any good time. He said, well, look what it says back in these old scrolls. Well, they pulled out the scrolls, and sure enough, he knew they were old because they were cracked. And they rolled across there, and back then, 200 years before, Isaiah, and he knew this wasn't to put on. You got the idea? They didn't have Xerox machines. This was not some kind of a forgery. You check. Isaiah the prophet called him by name. And there was his name in a book, and it described him, and it says, and your right hand will be holden. It tells you right there in 45:1 that his name will be Cyrus, and his right hand will be holden. I will hold, I forget just the way he says it, but he says, your right hand will be holden. And you look at any picture or graphic display of King Cyrus in the Babylonian, you know, writings and so forth, and they'll all tell you that he had a short right arm. So here's a guy, reads a prophecy about a guy named Cyrus who's to be the king of the Persians, and he's going to have a short right arm, and he looks at his arm, and he remembers his name, and he says, read me some more. What is it that I'm supposed to do? Well, how about you? How would you feel? Well, here you've walked around all your life with a short right arm, wondering why. Come on, you know, we all have those things. We wonder why we were created thus. And he reads it, and he says, now I know. That's my signature. I know there's absolutely no question. He's talking about me. So they read the thing, told him what to do. He said, there's nothing else to do but to issue this decree. And then he says something very interesting so that all the people in all the world may know that Yahweh is the Elohim of Israel. I'm telling you, only the Elohim himself could have written about me 200 years before. He became a Christian, if you follow the... I mean, you know, I'm stretching the point, but, you know... Well, that'd be enough to make anybody. Yeah, he became a believer, he said. And so he wrote the thing, and he wrote it out. Not the way he had planned at all, but the way Isaiah told him to. And so he made out the prophecy, and he said, the decree, and he said, all the people that have a mind to go, you're to go back. What year did he do it? Watch it. 538, and it tells you so that the prophecy of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Now he's fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah and the prophecy of Jeremiah with this prophecy. With his decree. He sent out a decree that fulfills two different prophecies. The one from Jeremiah and the one from Isaiah to rebuild the temple. 19 years later, the second decree went out. This time it was because some of the people who had went back 19 years before were discouraged. Well, of course, we don't know anything about that today. Starting something for the Lord and then getting discouraged. Oh, no, we don't know anything about that. Well, I want you to think about the one next to you. Do they ever get discouraged? Yeah, we all get discouraged. Come on. Things don't go right. And so things weren't going right. Then Haggai, and it tells somewhere else, I forget the guy's name, one of the other prophets, prophesied to the people and said, now get busy and rebuild this thing. It was during this 19-year period. So they started up again, and some of these guys came up to him and said, now just a minute, you're not allowed to carry on like this way. You're not allowed to rebuild this thing. And he says, oh, yes, we are. There was a decree that went out from Cyrus. So they, now, Darius is on the throne now. Cyrus is dead. So the guys in Jerusalem send a letter back to Babylon and said, Darius, you better check this thing out. These Jews are rebuilding this whole thing, and they're not supposed to be carrying on this way, and find out if there was. So he sent for the books, and sure enough, it says Cyrus, in the first year of his reign, made his prophecy. It was in fulfillment, this decree, it was in fulfillment of all these prophecies, and he had to do it. And Darius said, well, he did it, and the law of the Medes and the Persians cannot be reversed. You remember that scripture? So he said, go ahead and do it. And then Darius added a whole lot more money and gave him gold and silver and all that kind of stuff, and gave him a lot more money and said, all these people return to work rebuilding the temple. But has he said anything about the city yet?
No.
No. The prophecy in Daniel is when they get to do the city thing. See, not the temple. And the reason I keep emphasizing this is because when you go back and get your books from your Christian bookstore and all that kind of stuff about Daniel's 70 weeks, you'll find them picking up these dates and all this kind of stuff, but they're leaving this alone. But I'm telling you, we pick this one up. And we'll leave the others alone. I hope I'm coming on right. All right, let's keep going then. The third one is the one that I think is the most important one, and that's from Artaxerxes. In the seventh year of Artaxerxes. Now, if you want to remember how to say Artaxerxes, say Xerox. Say it, Xerox. And you pronounce X, and as his name is Artaxerxes, you pronounce it like you pronounce Xerox. And that's enough for that. So on Ezra 7:7, in the seventh year, it tells about concerning Jerusalem. And he says, now I want you to go back and do and rebuild Jerusalem and the walls and streets and all this kind of stuff. Now, this is out of the date that I got is 458 from the Jewish Encyclopedia, and those Jews have been keeping things pretty close, but I want you to notice something else. What was the date when the first prophecy went out? The first decree? 538. I'm at 458. How many years? 458 from 538, get out your computer. 458, 538. Say it. 80 years, 19 years and 61 years is... Now, if you read your charts carefully, it says 61 there and 19 there. It's easier to add your 19 and 61 than just track those other big numbers. But it all comes out 80. 80 years. Are you impressed? 80 years from the time the Jews are told they don't have to be slaves anymore, there's still a whole lot of Jews in Babylon.
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.